Today's daf is Shavuos daf Chaf Tes, the last daf here in the third parak of Masechta Shavuos as we continue towards the bottom of Chaf Ches on the base, and we finish up our discussions of Shavuos Shav and Shavuos Bitui. Before, Be'ez Hashem, on tomorrow's daf, we get into Shavuos Ha'edus, the fourth parak of Masechta Shavuos. Okay, let's start where we are up to, a couple of lines up on Chaf Ches on the base. Well, we just had a discussion between Eifa was learning Shavuos in the yeshiva of Rabbah, and he met Avimi, his brother, and they had a whole discussion about the Mishnah and similar cases, and whether their cases are similar or not similar, and they had arguments. But it says Abaya, Amar Abaya, four lines from the bottom, Zimnin, the Mishkachas, Lalahada Eifa. Sometimes Eifa is right, even though Eifa three times in a row was told that, no, that's incorrect. Sometimes Eifa is correct. What's the case of Eifa? The Rashi says the case that we're talking about is that where somebody makes a shvuah that he's not going to eat ten, and then he's not going to eat nine. That's the case that we're talking about, right? Rashi on the bottom. Zimdim mishkachas la'de'efa, the shvuah shlo ochal eser v'teisha. Va'ochal eser, he said, I'm not eating ten, I'm not eating nine, and he eats ten, and he's only chayav one. That's what Eifa had said. And we had argued before and said, no, that's wrong. So one, there is a time when Eifa is correct that you only chayav one. Again, where you went from 10 to 9. Kiddemar, like the following case, to Amar Rabba, Shvua Shlo Ochel Te'enim Va'anavim. Someone says, makes a Shvua that they're not going to eat figs and grapes. So we assume that means together on the same day. Figs and grapes together. V'chazar Va'amar Shvua Shlo Ochel Te'enim. And then he says, a Shvua that I'm not going to eat figs separately. So what is the halacha in that case? Va'achal te'enim v'hefesh karbon, and then he ate te'enim. So he violated one shvuah. He violated the second shvuah, because the first shvuah was only if he eats both of them. So he violated the second shvuah, and he was mafresh a karbon already, v'hefesh karbon. And once he's mafresh a karbon, then that act is not mitztaref. Rashi says on the second line, "V'kivan shehifresh karbon ala ta'enim sulo mitztarfi anavim bahadayu li'ichiyuvei ashvuas akamaisa." Right, once that act is taken care of by the karbon, then that act is not connected. V'acharkach, back to the Gemara, achal anavim luchudayu, and then he ate grapes. So now you might say, well, now he's violated the first shvuah because he's eaten ta'enim and anavim. The answer is no. Havile lavhu anavim chatzi shir. Anavim in that case are only a chatzi shir because the te'enim are already done. Via chatzi shir lo machayev karbon. So in that case, you wouldn't be chayev a karbon on the chatzi shir. It might be asa daraisa, like we mentioned the Rambam yesterday about a shvuah and chatzi shir and compares it, and we paskin chatzi shir is asa ben haTorah, like Rabbi Yochanan says in our discussion yesterday relating. But here you're not going to get an onesh, you're not going to be chayev a karbon for chatzi shir. So hachanami, see here too, kigon, what's the case that Eifa would be correct? Kigon to Amar shvuah shlo ochel eser, the chazar Amar shvuah shlo ochel teisha. Right, that case, I'm not going to eat ten, and then I'm not going to eat nine. The ochel teisha, and then he ate nine. So he only violated the second oath. V'hifrish karbon, and he was mafresh a karbon, meaning that act is finished. V'acharkach ochal asiris, then he eats the tenth one. Havila asiris chatzi shir. V'achatzi shir lo machayev. That would be chatzi shir. One wouldn't be chayev for chatzi shir in that case. Rashi on the bottom of the previous amud notes that if he would eat te'enim and anavim together without the karbon, then you'd be chayev too. In that case, because you'd be chayev, Rashi on the bottom, t'chi ochal te'enim mechayev ha-shvuah basra, v'chi hader mashlam leib anavim mechayev ha-kamaisa. Right, so if you didn't bring the carbon in the middle, then you would be chayev too. But if the carbon was brought in the middle, the hafrasha, so then that would separate. Again, chatzi shir is a huge topic, as we discussed a little bit already yesterday, but it's one of those topics that we could ask the question that Achronim ask in many sugyas, and that is klali prati. Right, when we say, if I eat a chatzi shir of nevela, and a chatzi shir of trefa, and a chatzi shir of chazir, and a chatzi shir of chalev, is that all the same avera? It's chatzi shir. I'm not going to get punished anyway. So is that just, there's my scorecard in Shamayim. There's a chatzi shir section scorecard. Is that how it is? It's klali, and the chatzi shir of everything is equal. Or do we say no? There's no separate scorecard in Shamayim of Chatzi Shir. There's a section of Chatzi Shir on every specific Avera. There's a Chatzi Shir section on the Nevela card. There's a Chatzi Shir section on the Chazir card. The Chulu, what we would call Prati. It's specific to each and every Avera. I'm doing a little bit of Chazir and a little bit of Nevela when I eat a Chatzi Shir. It's not the same thing. And Lamay Nafkamina, the Kabi Nafkamina, is there a difference between a Chatzi Shir of a Lav and a Chatzi Shir of Karis? Is there any difference between those two? Does it make it, if somebody's life's in danger, does it make a difference? Right, we know in general, you always try to eat the less averis. Ma'achila noso hakal hakal. The Mishnah says in Maseches Yoma. Right, you always try to eat. If you have to eat, do an avera anyway, you always try to do the lesser avera. But what if you're doing chatzi shir? Is there a difference between the chatzi shirs? So that's a question in the Achronim. How do we look at it? But that's a question that's asked, in other sugyas as well. Lifne iver is another general topic. Lifne iver of different averis. Is that lifne iver of every specific avera and is counted as a little bit of each specific avera? Or no, lifne iver of everything is lifne iver. It's a separate avera. It doesn't matter what it's lifne iver of. Every avera is lifne iver. Right, elamai nafkamina. So there are many nafkaminas. One of the fascinating ones is the machlokas, the balamar, and the ramban in Maseches Sanhedrin, whether lifne iver of the big three is yahari val yavar. If somebody comes over to Reuven and says, convince Shimon to kill Levi or I'm going to kill you. Is that Yehari Valyavar? If Reuven, he says, Reuven, kill Shimon or I'll kill you, so that's Yehari Valyavar, you have to give your life. What if he says, no, don't kill Shimon, convince Shimon to kill Levi or I'm going to kill you. So is that Yehari Valyavar? That's a machlokas between the Baal Amar and the Ramban. And one of the ways to explain that is whether Lifnei either of the big three is like the big three. Again, you don't have to say that. You might say, even if it's not the actual big three, it's enough to be Abizrayu. And therefore, you know, it would be good enough. But either way, that's one of the suggestions. So you have the discussion by Lifnei Iver, you have the discussion by Chatzi Shir, and you have it by a couple of other sugis as well. One of the general Zrizim Makdim L'Mitzvahs, in the positive sense, as we discussed more recently. When I do Zrizim to a mitzvah, does that make the mitzvah a different type of mitzvah? It's prati for each and every mitzvah? Or do I say, no, it's a general klali idea. If I do zrizos, great. Doesn't affect the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the same mitzvah. But there's a zrizos category in Shemayim, on my mitzvah side. So you have it by the negative, you have it by the positive. So you have all hider mitzvah, another one. Right? So all of these, that's two by averis, two by mitzvahs, zrizos, hider mitzvah, lifne iver, chasi shir. That question has to be asked by those four topics. And then we could see whether it's prati or klali. Okay. Let's now get to the last Mishnah. Second to last Mishnah. I'm sorry, the Mishnah about Shvu Ashav, and then we will continue. Says the Mishnah. Is Shvu Ashav? What is Shvu Ashav? So we already read the Rambam recently, but the Rambam got it from Chazal right here. What is Shvu Ashav? What is a useless Shvua? Shav. Sheker is a false Shvua. As we've said, a Shvua Sheker. I lied. Shav might not be what we call lying in English, but it's a worthless shvua. I swear, says Rash, says the Mishnah, Nishva Lashano, says Hayedua La'adam, I swear about something that is obviously wrong. Amar al ha'am, not that I did something wrong, but a reality. Amar al ha'amud shall even shehu shall zav. I swear about a stone pillar that it's gold. V'al ha'ish shehu isha. V'al ha'isha shehi ish. Right, it's opposite of what is known. That is example number one of Shvua Shav. It's a physical reality that I swear the opposite, right? It's also the same as we'll see that if it's obvious, if I swear a man is a man, if I swear a gold is gold. So that is part one. Interesting, the Yerushalmi here, maybe one day we'll have Shirim on Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi here says, as in other cases, what happens if I swear that two is two? That's Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi adds that in. Chizki Amar, Ahein Mishtaba al train, Deinun train, Loki Mishim Shvua Shav. That's also Shvua Shav. That's a little different. That's more conceptual truths. That's not physical truths. Or, Rabbi Menachem B'Shem Reish Lakish, Ahein Dechame Tferia Nachis, the Amar, Kere Pili Berichzin, Loki Mishim Shvua Shav. It's pouring rain outside. And I say, you know what? The fruit today are going to be cheaper in the marketplace. Right? Which is a natural outgrowth of what's happening. If it's raining, and I know the fruit are going to be, you know, or if it's a rainy season, I know the fruit's going to be cheaper, there's going to be more supply, and therefore the price is going to go down. And that's what I say, price is going down. So, or I say price is going up. What is the halacha there? But the Marapanim says, Richzin bizol, shahamatar yored vahaperos yu bizol. Lokin mishum shvua shav. Right? Shvua Shav, cause that's obviously emes. That's the kind of the opposite. So our Gemara doesn't say those cases. Those aren't physical realities as much as logical realities or conceptual realities. So the Ritvi here has two deos. Does the Bavli hold that those cases are Shvua Shav also on a Daraisa level? right? Or is there something different between the physical realities of swearing about gold is silver and silver is stone, or the opposite? Says the Ritva. He quotes this Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi Amr, Shekein Mi Shadishpa Be'emes Al Ha'emes Hayadua. And he quotes our cases. V'yesh omrim tehahu ein isuro ela midrabanan v'loke makas mardus kamar v'hainu dolktani latana. And that's why our Tana doesn't mention those kind of cases. Mishum te'iu b'daraisa ma'iri b'kulu b'shvuos de'la'el v'ein shvuos shavin atora ela b'nishma l'shanos. Oh, he's giving the other example, meaning not only are those different the way I formulated it, but our Mishnah doesn't give examples of swearing on the obvious. It's only on swearing on the opposite. The Rambam, we already influenced. We saw the Rambam. The Rambam paskins clearly it's Doraisa, even to swear in the obvious. So that's where the Ritva is picking up on those examples. Right? Those are, says, maybe those are Durabanan. And then he says, V'ein nira kein dasa rabbeinu afati v'arambam zal, v'gam ein hatam nachon kol hatzorech. Right, so I think it is daraisa. For Yosef Yisli Yashu, if he did Rabbeinu Afasi v'Harambam, datana loktani hacha el shvua shav, the domik sas l'shvuas bitu l'sha'avar. You know why those aren't listed here? Not because they're drabanan, but because the ones here, remember, this is the transition from bitui to shav. So we want to have similar shav to bitui. Shu nishpa l'shanos ma sha'avar. And shvuas bitui are where you lied about something. Ulashmina deles be karbim shvuas bitui. And it's to teach me that there is no carbon. It doesn't say that, but it is daraisa. Fine. So that's the Ritva's point. I was just adding before that it's also different in terms of the type of shove that it is. It's not a physical reality, but it's the other type. But again, that's the other examples that are given. Good. Number one. Let's continue. Says the Gemara Mishnah now. Second type of case of Shvua Shav. So we have Lashano says the Yadua. Now, Nishpa al Davar She'i Efsher Lo. If I swear about something that is impossible. Imlo Ra'isi Gamal Shaparech Ba'avir. Flying camels. Right? If I didn't see a flying camel. We'll have to see what do you mean if I didn't see? If I did see. So we'll have to see what is meant. Remember we had back in Maseches Makos, flying camels. Right? About Edom Zomamin. Right, I'll be choshish for flying camels, and a person got from one place to another place. Yimano yisim, so we're not choshish for flying camels. So it's impossible. Or if I didn't see a snake that was as large as the board used in an olive press. Also, something huge. So all of these are impossible items, and therefore those are also examples of shvuashav. Good. Remember, the Rambam gave four examples of Shua Shav. The Mishnah is going to give three, and that's why the Ritva had that question about the fourth category that's not listed in the Mishnah. The Ran here does note that sometimes Halacha believes in and acknowledges exaggeration. Right? Sometimes, right? He quotes the Gemara from elsewhere. It says the Ran on Daf Yud Beis of an Aleph here in the Dafei Harif. The Ran says, the example of, I saw, you know, there were so many people there, it was like the people who left Mitzrayim. Right, so do we say, is that a shvuas shav? Because we know it wasn't the 2 million people. Right, so, you know, sometimes the Ran says you have to know based on context. If a person seems to be literally saying that, and it's meant to be literal, so that's a shvuas shav. Like the cases in our Mishnah. Right, I saw did you really mean just a fast donkey? A fast camel? No, it sounds like if you say, I saw a flying camel, so we assume that's literal, and therefore that's a shvua shav. Or I saw a snake as big as, so we assume that's literal. But other cases, and this might have to be judged based on context, says the Ran, Eino loke in the case of Oli Mitzrayim, Mishum shav, the Dilma hai gavra in shituva chazi, he saw a lot of people, v'gazim, v'amar ka Oli Mitzrayim, shekein darkan shol b'nei adam, shemigazmin b'chayotze bazeh. People sometimes exaggerate. V'hasam tana trei gavni nokat. There are two types, chad the shayach be'guzma, some type of declarations are, we assume, are exaggeration. Dahinu kol Mitzrayim. V'chadelo shayach beguzma. Dahinu nachash kakoris beisabad. V'yashbeinan. And the Mishnah is teaching me. V'chitala iser peiros b'chad mehani nidro batel. V'kol chad v'chad taimei l'chud. V'gadun the shayach beguzma kol Mitzrayim. B'dinu dolo litzrolei. V'kushta kamar al derek guzma. We don't assume he's lying. Right? He's saying the truth, but just exaggerating. We'll get to the Peiros application, but again, that's an important comment of the Ritva. Where does exaggeration come up in halacha? Is there ever a time where you exaggerate, not allowed to exaggerate? So it comes up in Hilchos Lashon Hara. Right, the Chavos Chaim talks about it in Shmiras HaLashon, about exaggeration. We have to be so careful when we're talking about other people. You know, in general, no exaggeration, that could lead to misconceptions, that could lead to people saying Lashon Hara and people being upset. But on the opposite side, we have an area where you're allowed to be magzim, and it's good to be magzim, a little. Hespedim, right? The Gemara, the Chazal say, you could exaggerate a drop. Why can you exaggerate a drop? Isn't that lying? So the Mefarshim explained there in Hilchos Avelos. Probably, if this person had the ability to do a little more mitzvahs, he would have done it. We could assume that a person, everybody's a pintel, a yid, and they would have done a little more. So it's not an exaggeration. That's why you're allowed to exaggerate a little bit, right, out of hesped. Not too much, because then that's, it's over the line. And it's not true. But again, that's the, Chazal quoted in Hilchos Avelos. But that's the Ron's important comment on the Mishnah. Sometimes exaggeration is not assumed to be a lie. But that is category two of Shvuah Shav. So we have Lashana says a Yadua, we have swearing the impossible, and by the way, in the Hakdama too, I think it's Pirsha Mishnais or maybe in Shmona Prakim, maybe it's in Shmona Prakim, I don't remember, that the Rambam has a line quoting something that is like so far-fetched and impossible. He says, it's like people flying in metal tubes in the sky. The Rambam has a line like that 800 years ago. It's pretty fascinating. Okay, so the totally different context, but it's about saying the impossible, but maybe it wasn't so impossible. It was impossible. I was talking about without a motorized engine also. Third category, says the Mishnah, Amar la'edim, bo'u v'ha'iduni. Somebody says to witnesses, please come and give testimony for me. Right, which is already getting into the next type of shua, which Be'ezhem comes up on tomorrow's daf. Shvua shlon itcha. We swear that we're not going to come testify. They didn't swear that we don't know testimony. That would be Shvuas Eidos. But they say, we swear we're not coming. And that's an example of, as Rashi quotes here, Nishpa Levatel as a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to give testimony on behalf of somebody if you know testimony. So if they say swear, Shalona Itcha, right? So then Rashi says, Bittul Mitzvahu, Hayru Davar She'i Efshar. So it's also interesting, in terms of categorization, something that's impossible, you could have physically impossible, like flying camels. You could have halachically impossible, that you have to do this. And it's like Nishba Mushba V'yomed. So interesting, Rashi says that, Hainu Dabar She'yefshar. He's trying to put it into that category. But the Mishnah says, Nishba, or generally, Nishba Levatel as a mitzvah. For example, what are examples? Shelo laso sukkah, shelo lito lulav, shelo laniach tefillin, zui shvuashav, shechayav anazdonak makos, fal shigagasa pata. These are all shvuashav, where chiyiv on the mezid is malkos, and shogeg is pater, meaning in contrast to shvuas bitui, which shogeg is a karban. When it comes to shvuas shav, so the shogeg is going to be pater. Good. Stop there. Those are the examples of shvuas shav. There is an idea in Chazal, for sure. It comes up over and over again. So we know there's something special about it, and that is, at least in two Mishnayos, when the Mishnah wants to give examples of a mitzvah, it gives the example of building a sukkah. Building a sukkah. Even though, what's the mitzvah? If I build a sukkah and never sit in the sukkah, I don't get any mitzvah. And yet, here, the example is, if somebody swears to be mevatel a mitzvah, like, okay, shaking a lulav, putting on tefillin, building a sukkah? Why is that called a mitzvah? Right, we had this in Maseches Nedarim also. Nedarim, it talks about, Ye'asru kol perish ba'olam, if, right, he says, I'm not gonna build a sukkah, sitting in a sukkah. Or the last time we discussed this, I think the last time, was Rashi in Maseches Makos. Remember the Gemara in Makos on Daf Ches, which talks about, do you go to Golus if you're involved in a mitzvah, you're chopping wood and the axe flies off, that whole discussion in the second parak. And what's an example of a mitzvah? You're cutting down wood to build a sukkah. So again, Rashi says there, Kilo matzah chatuva, if you didn't find it chopped up, ein hachatava, if you ein hachatava mitzvah, ella, right, the chopping isn't the mitzvah, no, ella, asiya sukkah. But the building of the sukkah is a mitzvah. The building of the sukkah is a mitzvah. The sitting in the sukkah is the mitzvah. So we find this in Chazal a number of places, and the one who made this famous was the She'iltos and the Nitziv on the She'iltos. Once heard the Nitziv, we have commentary on the Nitziv on Shas, the Meromi Sadeh, but we also have commentary, why is it Meromi Sadeh? Because there's a pasuk, I think, in Shoftim, Naftali al Meromi Sadeh, his name is Naftali, Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, but the Nitziv also wrote commentary on underused Svarim, and because he did that, so now that's why people, more than they did beforehand, learn those Svarim, because of the Nitziv's commentary. And one of the great examples is the She'iltos of Rav Achoigon. I don't think it was as popular before the Nitziv wrote his commentary, but now that we have the Hevek She'ila on the She'iltos, so now it's one of the classic Svarim that we have, the Sifri, the Emek HaNitziv on the Sifri. Also, the Medrash on Bamidbar and Dvarim, we have the commentary of the Nitziv, and that's why he made it more popular. So, says the all the way at the end of Parsha Zos Habracha, the She'iltos writes, She'ilta, Kuf Samachtes, the Mechayvin de Beis Yisrael, Lemevin Metalalta Umeisaba. Right? Jews are obligated to build a sukkah and sit in it, Shiva Yome, Dechsiv Chaka Sukkah Stasalacha Shivas Yamim, Vixiv Sukkah Seish Shivas Yamim, the Kami Shiur de Sukkah, and then he goes into some of the details. And then Nitziv picks up on this along with all of these other sources and says, what do you mean build a sukkah? The mitzvah is to sit in the sukkah, not to build the sukkah. Why does the Shilto say, Lemevin mitalalta umesiva, to sit in, to build the sukkah? Why? So that's where the Nitziv comes up with his chiddush that is much discussed, where he says there are two types of hechsher mitzvahs. There's hechsher mitzvah haksuva batorah, and a hechsher mitzvah she'en haksuva batorah. To cut off the horn of the ram in order to make a shofar, there's nothing significant, I mean, you have to do that, but that's a pure hechsher mitzvah. There's nothing inherently significant about that act, except that you have to do that in order to be able to have a shofar. Or cutting the lulav off of the tree. Or sharpening the knife in order to do bris milah. Right, all of those are nice, wonderful hechsher mitzvahs, but they're not ksuva b'Torah. But then, says the Nitziv, there's about six or seven hechsher mitzvahs haksuva b'Torahs, where the hechsher mitzvah is even alluded to, mentioned in the Torah itself. Even though the Torah would, all the Torah has to say is to do the mitzvah. Why does the Torah say the hechsher mitzvah? Right, of course you have to do the hechsher mitzvah. It must be the Torah is giving it prominence and significance, the fact that the hechsher mitzvah is also mentioned. Chag HaSukkos, Ta'aselecha. And the Gemara darshins from there, not just make for yourself a holiday, make for yourself a sukkah. Right? We learn halachas from that pasuk about building a sukkah. Where else? Uchasavtam al mezuzos beisecha uvisharecha. You should write a mezuzah. Writing the mezuzah is not the mitzvah. Affixing the mezuzah is the mitzvah. But that's a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'Torah. The asulahem tzitzis. Putting tzitzis on the bag and make tzitzis. The mitzvah is levisha tzitzis. But it says, asiya tzitzis. Right? All of these are examples. We also have it not only in the Torah, even by Divrei Kabbalah. Right? He says it by Kavod and Onik Shabbos. That's based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Nun Ches, V'kibadato. Right? So that's also, hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'Divrei Kabbalah, at least. But all of those, there's a difference between ksuka and ksiva sefer mezuzah and matzo, you might say, ushmartem es hamatzos. Right, that also might be a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'Torah. Tzitzis v'chol, l'may nafkamina. So he quotes, he goes through a lot of sources. L'may nafkamina, number one, there's a havamina in Menachos to make a bracha on hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'Torah. We don't paskin that way. But at least there's Yerushalmi. You make a bracha on building a sukkah. There's no Yerushalmi about making a bracha on cutting the ram's horn. There's no havamina for that. But because it's hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'Torah, that's why there's a havamina like this. Mitzvah bo yoser mi bishlucho. You might say by a hechsher mitzvah ksuva b'Torah. Right? That's the Gemara at the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin. You have it by Kavod Shabbos. The Amoraim, they used to salt the fish and cut the wood. Right? So that is hechsher mitzvah. Mitzvah bo yoser mi bishlucho. Osek b'mitzvah, pater mena mitzvah. The Nitziv goes through. A third nafkamina. Again, among others. And just the end piece, the last part, he discusses, is beautiful. He says, maybe that's another pshat of Ratzak Kadosh Baruch Hu Lezakos Yisrael Leficha Achir Balen Torah Mitzvahs. Hashem wanted to be Mezake us. So therefore, he gave us Torah, a lot of Torah and Mitzvahs. Right? The Mishnah at the end of Mezakos Makos. And the question is, what do you mean he wanted to be Mezakos, therefore he gave us a lot? Torah is a package. The Torah was created before the world was created. Right? The Gemara in Psachim and Nedarim. So what do you mean he was Marbe? He wasn't Marbe. The Torah is perfect. It's a perfect unit. It is what it is. So what do you mean he was marbe? He added on. He didn't add on. 613 is 613. So there are many different shatim given. Says the Nitziv in this piece in Kuf Samachtes, hechsher mitzvahs. he made into significant mitzvos. Those didn't have to be mitzvos. Those aren't counted as 613. So that's what it means. Ratzah, you want to be mezakeos in extra mitzvos? So what are those marbe? The hechsher mitzvahs aksuvas b'Torah, which we had to do anyway. Hashem wrote them in the Torah to give us extra schar. But also, that's right here in our Mishnah alluded to in the lasos. In the lasos. Again, there's a lot, as we're going to see over the next couple of dafim. These dafim start becoming jam-packed. Hopefully every daf in Shas is jam-packed. But there's a lot to do on all of these dafim. The Ritva here has important discussions of nishba levatel as a mitzvah. What about nishba levatel as mitzvah de rabbanon? Is that also nishba levatel as a mitzvah? So that is the Ritva. Again, the Ritva on Shavuos is crucial. The Ritva is always crucial. But on Shavuos, he is uniquely crucial. He said, nishba levatel as a mitzvah on a mitzvah de rabbanon. The Ritva has a fascinating chilek. He says, is it nishba levatel as mitzvah asay de rabbanon? Or nishba la'avar arnen iser de rabbanon? He's machalik between the two. He says, to be mevatel a mitzvah asei derabanan, the shvua would be chal. It's a shvua daraisa. Shvua daraisa, it's a mitzvah derabanan, the shvua wins. Better be sheval tase, not to do the mitzvah derabanan. Right, that's number one. But if it's to violate an iser derabanan, says that you wouldn't do. That an iser derabanan in this context would be more chamer than a mitzvah derabanan. Aval kol shenishba la'avar al yisurin shal devrayim, did dechvasei b'yisurin shal Torah, ein shvua chal aklal v'afilu b'kolo. Nirim, dvarim sha'asur lechov l'shtos, demutav sheyevatel shvuaso b'shev altase, mishayakar yisurin derabanan b'yadayim. The best in masan lakar davermen ha'Torah, b'shev altase. Boom. Very important, amazing ritva. Number one. The Ritva does say that even by Doraisas, it might work by a kolel. Meaning, let's say I swear, I make a shvua, I'm never going to eat matzah. I include all the days of the year that are not Pesach. So it could be migu, that it's chal here, it's chal there. Those are the two issues brought up in the Ritva. Fine. And the last point to mention, and then we will finish up the Mishnah, Be'ez Hashem, is the example given by the Mishnah for Nishba Levatel. The first line is Edus. If a person says, I swear I will not give Edus, that is a mitzvah d'oraisa also. In Parshas Vayikra, it's interesting that the Torah never says that there's a chiyuv to give Edus. The formulation in Parshas Vayikra is not a chiyuv to give Edus. What is the mitzvah? The context is Shavuos Edus, as we're going to talk more about Hashem tomorrow. But the mitzvah is in the implicit. Implicit. If you know testimony, v'hu eid o ra'a o yada, im lo yagid v'nasav o no. If you don't say it, you're going to have an avera. So from that we learn a mitzvah saseh daraisa of giving testimony. Even though it's formulated in the opposite. B'chol inyan chova aleinu lagid ha'edis l'fnei bezdin. I'm reading from the Sefer HaChinuch. Mitzvah kuf chav beis. So stuck in the middle of the discussion of karbanos. But if you look in Parshas Vayikra has a number of mitzvos, has about 15 mitzvos, all about karbanos, except for the mitzvah of edus. And Parshas Sav is almost all about karbanos, right? And that's it, right? At the end, it's eating chalav and eating dam, which also might be connected to karbanos, but it's stuck in the middle of a yikra is this mitzvah of edus. V'hu eda raya da yada. It's said in a somewhat of a backhanded way. V'hu nasa es... Why is it said in such a backhanded way? Why isn't it just say, give testimony? We'll talk more about this, but I'll just mention it. The Zayin LaTorah discusses. It's not such an easy mitzvah, right, to get involved in somebody else's issue. Two other people have an issue, Reuben and Shimon. Now, I'm going to testify. The Torah understands it's a little touchy. So we'll talk about that a little more, but that might be a derech to go down. The Ramban has one formulation in the Kuntras Dina de Garmi. Ramban wrote a whole sefer on Garmi and Grama, which we haven't talked about in a while, but we'll talk about this more, Be'ez Hashem, in the coming weeks, when we talk about more in Mesechta Shavuos. But here he has a line, V'tayma d'milsa, Sha'af hu, eino chayev l'ha'idlo, elamidin gemilus chesed, shechiva Torah l'ha'id. He's trying to explain the Gemara in the beginning of the sixth parak in Baba Kama. If somebody knows Edus and doesn't testify, right, is that considered, you're going to get a punishment, Medina Adam, Medina Shamayim? Okay, but in that context, he says Edus is in form of Chesed. V'im lo ratza l'kayim osa mitzvah, ein min adin l'chayvo mamon. Right, it's really not appropriate to be m'chayvim money because it's just the Chesed he's not doing. Chesi he's not doing, so he doesn't do chesi. He's not a nice guy, but to be mechayiv in money, is it a real chobas mamon? So the Ramban de-emphasizes that. The Ramban says, Eidus is really in the world of chesed than in the world of dini mamonis. That's his line in the Kuntres Dina Degarmi. Okay, so those are all examples. The three examples the Mishnah gives, Ashu Ashav, and as we mentioned from the Ritva, the fourth example that the other sources give in terms of swearing to say what is Yadua, not what is opposite. Good. Finishing up the Mishnah. Shua Shochal Kikar Zu, Shua Shalo Ochlana. Now we're getting back to Shua's Bitui. Right? I swear I will eat this cookie today, and then I swear I won't eat this cookie today. So Harishona Shua's Bitui, the first is in the world of Shua's Bitui, and you have to do it. You swear you can eat the cookie, you have to eat the cookie. Vashniya Shua Shav. And once you do that, then the second one is a Shua Shav. It's the opposite of what you need to do. Achla, if I eat the cookie, Avra Shua Shav. Then I violate the second Shua. Lo achla, avra Shua's Bitui. And if I didn't eat the cookie, so then I violate Shua's Bitui. The Gemara will talk about, even if you, what do you mean, achla, right? You have to be ochelet, right? Shua Shav is not right away. It's only if it's achla. The second you take that Shua, right? Isn't that enough? Only if achla? So the Gemara will talk about it. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula, getting back to the first part of the Mishnah, right? Shua Shav is nishba l'shanos es hayadua. Your Mishnah, you swear about being Mishnah is something that is obvious. Amar Ula v'ushen nikar l'gimel b'nei adam. It has to be obvious to at least three people. At least three people, right? If three people don't know about it, then what? Rashi. V'ushen nikar ha'amud l'shlosha b'nei adam, hu da'havi shav. Avalo nikar, havi shua sheker. It's still false. It's still a shvua, but it's a different category. Shvua sheker, meaning it's a different isser. Different isser. Remember, we mentioned weeks ago. We mentioned, not so many weeks ago. We mentioned 9 days ago. Shouldn't be that long ago. Rashi, chaf amid beis. Rashi says when you give hasra'a, Rashi shvua staf chaf. It's a shas Rashi. When you give hasra'a, you have to mention the pasuk. You have to tell the person what pasuk they're violating. Chaf amid beis. Ramikra zetzor lahasra's bo. So it's important to know what type of shvua it is. So here, Rashi says, if it's known to three b'nei Adam, then it's a shvuah shav. If not, it is a shvuah sheker. When the Rambam quotes this, the Rambam has an interesting formulation type of, what do you mean people don't know about it? What do you mean, why is it in Ikar l'b'nei Adam? Right, it's not something famous. So most things are famous. People know a table is a table and a chair is a chair. The Rambam. Rambam is example. Dover Yadua, the end of the fifth parak, Hilchos Shvuos. Dover Yadua Eitzel Chachamim Ba'alei Seichel Umada. It's known to scientists, the Rambam says, Shahashemesh Gedola Min Ha'aretz Mea V'Shivim Pa'amim. Right, the sun, I didn't review this on the, Rabbi Google it, but anyway, the sun is greater, is bigger than the earth, 170 times bigger. Nishba Echen Min Ha'am, Shahashemesh Gedola Min Ha'aretz. If somebody swears that the sun is bigger than the earth, Eino loke mishum shvua shav. Sha'avo bisha adover kainhu, even though it's true, ein dover zegoli viadua lechal adam, elo legdole hanavonim bilvad. That the sun is bigger than the earth. Maybe in the Rambam's day it wasn't as common. I don't know if that would be a good example to nowadays. Most people probably know the sun is bigger than the earth. But the Rambam says, it's only known as an example. If only experts know something, then maybe that's not called shvua shav. Ve'no chayev elam kei nishpa al davar shegoli v'yadua l'shlosha b'nei adam mishar ha'am. Kegon ish shehu ish ve'even shehu even. The Rambam says that's why the Mishnah gives those examples. Ve'chein, what about the opposite? Im nishpa shashemesh ketana min ha'aretz. What if somebody swears that the sun is smaller than the earth? Eino loke. V'afal pi she'ena davar kein, v'pnei she'en ze yadua l'chal adam, v'enu kimi she'nishpa ala ishu isha, sh'ari lo nishpa ela al re'iyas enav, sh'ari hu ro'o soktana, that's the way he sees it, he doesn't know. V'chein kol kayotze bazeh midivrei cheshbon tkufos u'mazolos gematrios v'chayotze midivrei achachma, she'ena nikarm ela la anashim achadim. So what about in those days, what about earlier, if somebody swears that the earth is flat? Right, the earth is round. That's not the example given, but again, as the Rambam talks about constellations and the sun and the earth, the Rambam, the scientist that he also was. Good. Says the Gemara. We only did one line of Gemara. Nishbal davashi efshar lo im lo reisi gamal parech bavir. So what did the Mishnah say? If you swear about something impossible, I swear I didn't see a flying camel. Shvua shereisi lo kamar. What does that mean? It should be you swore that you saw, but it didn't say that. My imlo reisi, Abaya Amar, Tanishua Shereisi. Okay, Abaya says change it. It should be I swear I saw a flying camel. Rava Amar, but Omer, no. Say this. Ye asru kal perisha ba'olam alay imlo reisi gamal parech ba'avir. All fruit are usher to me unless I saw, if I didn't see a flying camel. Basically, he's swearing that he saw a flying camel. But that's how you have the negative formulation. All fruit in the world will be ushered to me if I didn't see a flying camel. So Machlokas, Abaya, and Rava had to understand the Mishnah. Omar le Ravina le Ravashi, Vidilma. So now we get into the Ron's idea from before. Vidilma hai gavra tzipora rabachazi. Maybe this person just saw a huge bird. Or not exactly the Ron. The Ron was exaggeration. Here we're talking about interpreting his words. Right? Maybe the person saw a very large bird. Va'asik le shmagam, and he called it a camel. He called it a camel. That's why he called it a flying camel. And when he swore, he's swearing based on his own categorization and calling of the event and the item that he saw. So maybe it's not a shuashav. Maybe he's just calling that large bird a camel. Right, basar pume azlinan. Right? If somebody comes in and says, oh, I could eat a, whatever. I could eat a horse. I'm so hungry. Right, does he mean that? He doesn't mean that. It's just that's how he's categorizing how much he could eat. So v'chi tema, basar pumi azlinam v'lo azlinam basar daite. And if you want to say, and this is what we're going to talk about over the next couple of lines, if you say, in Hilchos Shavuos, you go by his mouth. You go by what he said, not by what he's thinking. Is that really true? That he can't come up with his own words, and then we would have to relate to that type of description? V'yotanya. But then we learn in the Braisa. Kisha Mashbiyanoso, when Bezdin makes somebody swear, they say to him, Omrim lo, havi yodea, shalo al daitecha anu mashbiyanotcha, ela al daitenu valdas Bezdin. Right? It's not only on what you're thinking, but on everyone. So, my time, but why does Bezdin say that? That you should know you're swearing on our das. La mishum damrinan, isn't it because that if we wouldn't say this, then we might have to worry that he just changed some words around in his head. La mishum damrinan, dilma, is kondari yohevle. Maybe he gave some wooden chips, Rashi explains, right? Wooden chips to va'asik luhu shma zuze. And he's calling them money. Because when he says he's swearing that he gave money, so he's calling those chips money. So don't you see from the mashmos of that mishnah that you do go by what people decide to call things in the world of shvua. So too in our case, maybe the guy thinks a big bird is a camel. Why is that automatically a shvua shav? Just like in Bezdin, had we not said al daitenu v'adas Bezdin, we would have to be nervous about this type of word game. So too in our Mishnah, why aren't we worried about it? Says the Gemara, lo. No. You're usually not worried about a word game. That case over there was a specific problem. Hasa mishum kanya derava. That was because of the problem of the Rava Cain case. Remember the Rava Cain case? We had this back in Nedarim on Daf Chaf Hey. Somebody says in Bezdin, I gave him the money. So the Bezdin says, okay, swear to him. So he says, okay, he says to the guy, can you hold my cane for a minute? He gives the Tovea the cane and he swears, I swear I gave him the money. And the guy was so angry that he took the cane and he smashed it. And guess what? Out popped all of the money that was hidden inside the cane. So Yidavka gave him the cane in order to be able to swear that he gave him the money. So because of that case, that's why we don't want this type of trickery. Not because people are going to play word games, but people are going to play other kinds of games. But the Mishnah said, the Gemara says, word games we're not worried about, and therefore if somebody swears about a flying camel, they mean a flying camel. And therefore it is a shuas shav. Fine. Tashma, is this really true? So now we're going into the sugya. Is it really true that we don't have to worry about word games? That we don't have to worry that people change the definition of words and therefore, it would not be called a shua shav. Tashma, v'chein matzinu, we also find k'tishbiya Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu made Bnei Yisrael swear at Har Grizim and Har Eval, Amar lan du, shalom al daitachem anem ashbiyeschem, el al das hamakom, v'yal daiti. I'm making you swear based on my das and Hashem's das. V'yamai, leimalu. Why does he have to say that? Leimalu, why couldn't he just say to them, kaimu my damra aloha? Right? Do what the God, what Hashem commanded you. Why did he just say that? Why does he have to make him swear with this long verbose statement, lav mishum de maski adai tayu avaris kochavim, isn't it because maybe they're going to call their Eloah avodizara. So when he says that, when Moshe says you have to follow Eloah, they're like, yeah, avodizara, that's what Eloah is. So maybe they're playing word games. So isn't this, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu has to say this long lashon of adas hamakom v'adai ti. So back to the question. So you see, we are worried about word games when it comes to shuos. Mar says lo, mishum davaros kochavim nami ikri aloa. It's not because they're playing word games, but it's true. We find in the Torah that aloa refers to other gods. Dichsiv elohe chesef elohe zahav. So that's why. So it's not a word game. It's true, says the Gemara. But still, Moshe could have said something shorter. Vilei melahu kaimu Torah. Keep the Torah. He could have said that. So why didn't he say that? It must be because he's worried about the word games. No, Chad Torah. That would have given the impression there's only one Torah. We know there are two Torahs. Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebalpeh. So V'lei Mekayim Ushtei Torahs. Why didn't he say that? Be Mekayim the two Torahs. No. Torahs Chatam and Torahs Asham. That might have been interpreted as all they have to do is, as the Torah says, Zoros Torahs Chatam, Zoros Torahs Asham. I think in Parshas Saf. Kimu Kol HaTorah Kula. Why couldn't he say, Be Mekayim the whole Torah? No, Avodas Kochavim. They might have interpreted that as only having to fulfill Avodah Zarah, to Amar Mar. Chamur Avodas Kochavim, Shekol HaKofer Ba, Kimode B'chol HaTorah Kula. Right, Avodah Zarah is one of the mitzvos that are Shakol, connected to HaTorah Kula. So if Moshe Rabbeinu had said, do all the Torah, maybe that would have just meant Avodah Zarah. So again, there's no reason why, there's no way to explain it otherwise. V'leimelu Kaimu Mitzvah. Okay, about Mitzvah. So the Gemara said, no, chada mitzvah. That would have interpreted it as only one mitzvah they have to do. Kaimu mitzvos tarti. I could have interpreted that as two mitzvahs. Pick your, pick and choose. Kol mitzvahs kulon. Why did Moshe say, do all the mitzvos? Mitzvah sitzes. Maybe that would have been understood as mitzvah sitzes. De amar mar, shkula mitzvah sitzes, keneged kol mitzvahs kulon. Sitzes is keneged kol mitzvos. And therefore, he couldn't have said that. So again, we're still trying to say, why didn't he say something else? And the reason he must have said this was because we play the word game, so we haven't come up with that. We keep rejecting. By the way, tzitzis is Kenega Gal Mitzvahs Kulan. Rashi here quotes the Chazal, Uzachartem is called Mitzvos Hashem, Gematria Shelah, Sheishmeos, Ushmone Chutim, Vachamisha Ksharim, Hari Yud Gimel. Rashi quotes what he does on the Torah too. Tzitzis is Gematria 600, 5 knots, 8 strings. That equals 613. So that's not a word game, but that's not just a gematria, but there's the message of tzitzis. I mentioned in the past, in a parsha shiur years ago, the Rev Volbi has a sefer, HaMitzvos HaShkulos. It's all about what he categorizes as the 7 mitzvos in Chazal that are keneged kol HaTorah Kula. 7 mitzvos that he has that are keneged kol HaTorah Kula. Avodah Zarah, Tzedakah, Tzitzis, Tshuva, Bris Milah, Shabbos, and Eretz Yisrael. Right, those 7. Somebody once emailed me, he found another one. Okay, but these are 7 of the famous ones, of the major ones. And he goes through the message of each one, and at the end, the connection, is there a connection? But by tzitzis, he talks about how his tzitzis connected to Kol HaTorah Kula. So he has a beautiful mashal. He said it's like somebody fell off a boat, and you're in the water, and there is a safety tube that somebody sends you. Right, and you grab onto it to try to live, right? You're gonna drown. So there's this safety tube that somebody sends, and I grab onto it to save myself. Hashem gives us 613 safety ropes, safety lines that we have to grab onto to pull ourselves up to Him. And that's why tzitzis are strings. The string reminds us if we grab on. It's 613 strings. If you do the beged, which is tzitzis, and then the strings, and then the knots, all together it's 613, right? To remind us that the mitzvahs are all strings in order to climb up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tzitzis are keneged, kol HaTorah Kula. Again, there's so much here. We could talk about Avodah Zarah and tzitzis, but we'll have to leave it for now. But anyway, we said an answer now, but now we're asking another question. V'lei melahu. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu tell them? Kimu sheish meosu shlosh esrei mitzvos. Do 613. Do 613. Why didn't he say that? And this would be clear. So why do you have to use the other lashon? It must be that he's worried about word games. The Gemara says, no. Ula taimeich lei melahu al daiti. Still, it would have been enough to just say al daiti. Aldas hamakom lamali. Why does he add in aldas hamakom? So Ella, it must be for a totally different reason. Kihechi dilotevi hafara lushvua sayu. He doesn't want them to have a chance to do hafara for the shvua of Kabbalah's mitzvos, and therefore he does it aldas rabim and aldas hakadosh baruch hu. So there's a special reason why it's said. not to preclude the possibility of their changing the definition of words. Salamaisa, we end up by saying we're not choshes for new definitions of words. If somebody says that they saw a flying camel, so then that is a shvuas shav, because it is something impossible. The Ritva also says here, you see that there's at least a possibility of hatara or hatara even for a dvar mitzvah. Because here it's talking about dvar mitzvah, shvuas to keep all the mitzvahs, and still hafara would be possible unless it was aldas rabim. So you see, at least theoretically, you would be able to get out of a shvua for a dvar mitzvah. Good. We continue. Again, there's a pour in Tosfos on the bottom of Amun Aleph, but we don't have time right now. V'imlo ra'isi nachash kagoras be'sabad, if I didn't see a snake, v'lo, there aren't such big snakes, v'ahu tahavi b'shnei shirmalka, there was a snake in the years of shirmalka, tahavi chad da'achzik tleser arvasa tivni, there was a snake that was able to hold, to swallow 13, stables of straw. A huge snake. Amar Shmuel Batarif. Now what the Mishnah means is that you never have such a big snake that has grooves on its back. That's unusual. Kolonami mitrav trifin. What do I mean? They all have grooves. Bishagabu tarif. Only on the back. Right? So some type of unusual snake. That's what we're talking about. Good. Shvua sha'ochal kigarzu shvua sha'ochlena. V'cholu. Back to the Mishnah. Remember the Mishnah went back to Shvua's bitui. I swear I will eat a cookie. I swear I won't eat a cookie. Hashta mishum shvua's bitui mechayiv. Mishum shvua's shavlo mechayiv. What? It's a shvuas bitui, right away that you have to fulfill, but it's not a shvuas shav right away. Hare yatsa shvua lashav. Even without eating it, we said, you should be chayiv. Cause right when I said, I swear I'm gonna eat the cookie, fine, that's a bitui. That I swear I'm not gonna eat the cookie, should be shvuas shav right away. So, amar birmi yatsni afa shvuas bitui. Yes, correct. Right? It's even on shvuas bitui. Meaning, right when the Shua came out, La Sheker, on a Davarshi Yefshar, from that moment he already violates, even if he was Mekayim Shua, so Rashi adds. Last Mishnah in the Perek. Shua's Bitui, and this already is a leading into the next Perek, because we're going to say things about Shua's Bitui and Shua's Shav here, which are really obvious, but it's just a contrast to the next Perek, as we'll see. Shua's Bitui, no Heges, Banashim Ubanashim. It applies to men and women. Why would I have thought otherwise? We'll see. We'll see. Shvuas Eidus is not. Bikrovim uberchokim applies to relatives. It applies to strangers. If I make a Shvuas Bitui relating to a stranger. Biksheirim ubipsulin. Kosher people or apostle people. Bifnei Bezdin v'shalo bifnei Bezdin. Right? Any. Mipi atzmo. If I say the Shvua myself, or as we'll see, if I say Amin to somebody else, but v'chayavin alzdona makos v'shigasa kovin olaviyori. And if I take a shvuas bitui b'mezin, I'm chayav malkos. If I do a b'shogig, I'm chayav a carbon ole viyori. That's shvuas bitui. Shvuas shav, no heges, ba'anashim u'b'nashim, b'rchokim u'b'krovim, b'krevim u'b'psulin, b'fnei bezdin v'shlo b'fnei bezdin, all the same so far, u'mi b'yatzmo, and also the shvuas that you take by yourself, v'chayavin alzdona makos v'shigasa potter, and your chayav b'mezin makos on shogig, potter. Right, shvuas shav is just but it's not a onish on shogig. Achazu b'achazu, both of them, ha-mushba mipi acherim chayiv. By both of these also, if you're mushba mipi acherim, right, it's a new concept. What does that mean? If somebody else says, I'm mashbia you, and you say, fine. That's mushba mipi acherim. Somebody else formulates the shvua. That also works. Ketzad adds in the Bach. Omar lo achalti hayom, lo nachti tefillin hayom. Somebody says, I didn't eat today or wear tefillin today, mashbiach ani. You swear to it? The Omar amen chayiv. If somebody says amen to a hashba from others, then they would be chayiv. The Chashuk HaChemed here discusses, right, lo nachti tefillin hayom. Somewhat of a wild, unusual case. Chashuk HaChemed discusses here. Sheila, there was a case of, no, not this one. Where's the, okay, I want to mention, oh, shit, Maisa b'ben Eretz Yisrael. There was a ben Eretz Yisrael that came to Chutz La'aretz for Pesach. And on the last day of Pesach, which for him was weekday, but for everybody else was still Yontif, and he's chayiv to put on tefillin, because it's a weekday for him. He forgot, he didn't want to put on tefillin. It's 5 minutes before Shkia, and he's not near his tefillin. And he remembers, he didn't put on tefillin. And he's b'behela, because never in his life did he miss a day of tefillin. So, Ka'esi, he can't put it on. Chashav b'dayto, ula yekabel alav ka'es l'shtakeya b'chutz la'aretz, umemelu yekabel alav chovas yantav sheni, v'yipater mi'mitzvah sanachas tefillin. Maybe if I decide to make yirida right now, I'm pater from tefillin and then I won't be violating. So do you have that? See, he quotes from the Chuvas Lahoras HaSandra of Nassim Gestetner, the opposite case. What about a ben chutz la'aretz shenimsa be'eretz Yisrael? And he decides in the middle to say, I want to make aliyah. So is it not yantav anymore? Right? It's been yontif for the past 6 hours. But you know what? I want to really... In mafsik b'emsayom, then hokutush as yontif, and Laharis Nasan says, b'didei havi uvda. It happened to him. Shebishnas Tavshin Yud, 1950. Acher Shezachal Alos Eretz Yisrael, ube'emse yontif sheni, hechlit lishtakeh ba'aretz. V'holach l'shol sachazon ish, v'heshiv miyad, mutter lahafsik milinog din yontif. Wow. Right, it's yontif sheni. He says, I'm making aliyah. Chazon ish says, okay, not yontif. Yuyan ma'sheherech. V'hinei b'ni donenu, ben Eretz Yisrael harotze b'emse yom lishtakeh b'chutz la'aretz. So what about, that's the opposite. Right, if you could get kedushas yontif, you might say, "Well, of course, that's an avera. That's making yirida. That's not aliyah." So he says, "Lamaisa." He ends up saying, "Come on, he's an anus. He's doing this to save his bitla tefillin, anus rachmana patre, and therefore to make such a decision like that is not correct." And he talks about if somebody's on a boat and. Okay, what about the following case? He says, Yehudi Hatoshav Chutzlaretz. He came to Eretz Yisrael on Pesach. V'hine be'isru chaches lo yantav sheni. Amrlo ishto shi margisha shi tzrichal aledes. His wife goes into labor on the second day of yantif. So he could either get into the car, it's yantav sheni, but it's fine. It's you're allowed to be mechal. It's pikuach nefesh. Is it better to say, you know what, let's make aliyah, and then it's chol, and then he could just drive to the hospital? Unusual cases. Ulai kedai lachalat lo lachalas yantav sheni yakav alatzbo lios toshav Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it's somebody who's thinking about it anyway. But either way, these are his interesting questions about levatel tefillin. Anyway, vayter kol shuah kol ona amen achar shuah komotzi shuah mipivdami. Somebody who answers amen after a shuah is as if he said the shuah himself. We're going to talk about that better later in the next week. Amen is a huge topic. Is there a difference between whether you say amen or just listen and kavana to be yotze? Right? Maker a din we paskin, you don't have to say amen. But, in most cases, but we'll have to talk about that. Dechsiv, yamar ha'isha amen amen. Right? By the shvua of Esota. Amar a papa, mishmei de rava, masdisa nubraisa nami deka, a mishta nubraisa also proves like Shmuel. So this is unusual. Usually we have a Mishnah proves like Shmuel and a Braisa proves like Shmuel. Here, what the Gemara means is that there's a stira between a Mishnah and a Braisa. And the only way to answer the stira is by saying like Shmuel. Diktani. The Mishnah says on tomorrow's daf, Shmuel say edus no eges by nashim velo benashim. Only by men, right? Only people who are kasha la edus. Berechokim velo bekrovim. Bekshayrim velo bepsulim. Ve no eges ela beruyin lahoid. Only by those who are kasha to give testimony. Ubifnei bezdin. Vishalo bifnei bezdin. Mipi atzmo. By himself. If somebody else is mashbia me, only if I deny it in Bezdin. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's one. That's the Mishnah. V'tanya bebraisa, shvua se'edus ketzad. Amar le'ed b'boi ve'iduni shvua. She'in anu yodim, b'boi ve'iduni, come give testimony for me. Shvua she'in anu yodim l'cha'edus. I swear that we don't know testimony for you. O sha'amru, ein anu yodim l'cha'edus. Or they say we don't. Mashbi'ani aleichem, swear to me. V'yamru amein. Bein b'fnei bezdin, bein shelo b'fnei bezdin. Bein mipi aspo, bein mipi achirim. Kivan shekafru ben chayavin. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says even if you're outside of Bezdin, it works. Kashina Dadi, how could the Mishnah say it does not work outside of Bezdin, and the Braisa says it does? El Alav Shvamina, Hada Ana Amen, Hadalo Ana Amen, Shvamina. That's the Chilak, and so the Mishnah and the Braisa support Shmuel. Amar Avina Mishvei Derava, Masis and Dach and Amideka. Our Mishnah also proves like Shmuel. Dekatani, Shvuas Bitui, Noheges Ba'anashim, Ubanashim, Berechokim, Ubakrovim, Bekresherun, Ubapsulin, Bifne Bezdin, Vishal, Bifne Bezdin, Mipi Atzmo. So we say mi piatzmo in mi piachirim lo. So the first half of the Mishnah says it has to be mi piatzmo. Diktani seif, and the second half of the Mishnah, zev zev, mushba mi piachirim chayiv. It could be mushba from others. Kashina adadi, elav shvamina, hadana amen, hadalo, ana amen. So our Mishnah also is like Shmuel. Velashmuel mai kamashmulam. So what's the chiddush of Shmuel? If we already know it, dukya de masisa kamashmulan. Well, we might not have known how to answer the stira, how Shmuel not said it. So if Shmuel said it, that's how we know. Tosfos here discusses what Tosfos discusses in five other places in Shas also. What about, it says here that women aren't obligated in Shvuas Ha'edus. Why? Because they're not Kshirim Lahayid. And we know from the Mishnah in Nida, Kashir Lahayid, Kashir Ladun, they go together, Edus and Din. So ask Tosfos, what about Dvora, Shofetes? The only shofetes, how could she be a shofetes? So Tosfos gives various different answers. Here Tosfos gives two answers. Maybe she just was a teacher, not really a shofetes. She was a milamedes. Number one. Number two, maybe because she was one of the Nevi'ot, Bnei Yisrael were makabel her as a shofetes. And if you're makabel, kiblu olai, that's okay. The Maariv Chayah says, but that, you're only allowed to be makabel one out of three, we paskin. right? Not one for one. She still needs others, which would still be a problem. Tosfos and Nida, not Tosfos here, Tosfos and Nida says, oh, maybe it was different because it was Alpia Dibur. Alpia Dibur, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. Maritz Chaya says, Lo Bashamayim Hi, how could that work? It's a very labetic sugya. This sugya of Dvorah, all different answers given, the Rishonim, the Achronim, but that's in Tosfos right here, at the end of the parak. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we start with Shvuas HaEdus, a new world. This is the next section of Masechet Shvuas. Masechet Shvuas, part one was these 28 daf. And the next tomorrow starts the next section of Masechet Shvuas on Daf Lamed, and then the Shvuas that's six daf of Shvuas HaEdus. After that, we have Shvuas HaPikadon. Right, it's very organized, all the different types of Shvuas.